بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. The last time we began discussion the levels of taqwa. The levels of taqwa in regards to earning a livelihood. So we mentioned the last time we have the first level. Regards to those things ulama have declared as haram, then obviously we abstain. Person gets involved in haram, then in sharia is classified as an open sinner, a fasiq. The second level of taqwa, piety in regards to earning a livelihood, is the piety of the pious, the sulaha, the salihin. In this level, one abstains from doubtful things. Even though there's some difference of opinion, but this is the level of the pious. A little bit of doubt, they leave it out. They don't get involved in it. Hadith Sharif says, دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكَ. They leave those things that put you in doubt for those things which do not put you in doubt. The third level of taqwa is that of the atqiya. Those having taqwa, abstinence in them. So here, a person cannot reach the rank of the muttaqun, the pious, until he does not leave out those things in which there is no harm. There's no harm, I don't have to consume, I don't have to get involved in this avenue. So he abstains. So he cannot become a muttaqi, a pious person, until he does not leave out those things in which there is no harm for fear of getting engaged in those things in which there is harm. So he abstains. Then we mention about Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, who was the fifth rightly guided Khalifa. When the mosque is to be weighed in Baytul Mal, then even the scent of that mosque is to prevent himself, is to block his nose. So there was no chance of him inhaling that fragrance because it did not belong to him, it belonged to the Baytul Mal, the Islamic or the public treasury. This is the reason for abstaining from delicious halal food. This is the reason for abstaining from delicious halal food and permissible forms of beautification. There is fear that once a person becomes habitual of too much of delicious halal food and beautification, then the nafs will overpower a person and thereafter lead him to prohibited desires. The prohibition in the Quran Sharif of long fully gazing at the abundance of wealth and material belongings of the disbelievers and towards their status and honor is for this reason, that the beauty and luster of one's iman diminishes due to this outward glamour. But the more we follow the gossips of the world and the rich people of the world, then iman decreases slowly. That luster, that glow, and that nur of iman slowly goes away when a person begins to admire the wealth of others, especially the kuffar, what they have. And Allah has given them the wealth of dunya. Because dunya is their jannat. Dunya is their jannat. So there's no way that we are going to compete with them in dunya. Because Allah has given them dunya. When it comes to Bani Israel, that is the Jews, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is mentioned in Surah Israel, وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالِ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we have given you, وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ, we have blessed you, that is the Jews, بِأَمْوَالِ, with wealth. The wealth Allah says, I have given it to you. But if anyone wants to challenge them in regards to wealth, you will fail. Allah has given it to them, so there's no way now to challenge them. Whether it comes to the food supply, chain supply, this supply, when you get onto their level, if you get onto their level, then it will consume you. Your entire life will come out in that. They've given their lives to it, how to control the entire chain system, food system, clothing industry, and everything. Security, alarms, and everything they've got, Allah has given it to them. Because dunya is for them. So if you want to go in and challenge them onto that level that they are operating, this will become our life day and night. Because this is their life, day and night. So Allah has given it to them, and our Hazrat Wala explains also the barakatuhu. Allah has given it to them to come up with the best products in dunya for us to use. For us to use. They'll do all the hard work and the dirty work. And we will use it and enjoy it for our deen. We shouldn't get stuck in their system, which is happening right now, unfortunately. where Hazrat explains also that when he went to Malaysia and he spoke to the local Malaysians, and they mentioned to Hazrat also that at one time we, the Muslims of Malaysia, were controlling the economy with our business. And then the different types of institutions opened up, and we were businessmen. We sent our children to varsity, made them professionals, and inevitably they became slaves now of those that own the corporates. We thought now we were advancing, but we lost the plot. We put them into the offices. The Chinese came and took over the businesses. They control the economy. They've taken over, and our kids are working now for all the corporates. That is what they want to control us. They'll tell us now when to go for Jumu'ah, when to come back, when to have lunch, how many minutes they're giving us. Whereas the Muslim, Allah has made him the boss of dunya. That all these people must work for you. Hazrat explains to his a long, detailed explanation of Hazrat saying now that when it comes to all the different departments that we need in our lives, tertiary departments, we need the professionals, etc. He said, yes, we do need them. We need the engineers, and we need the doctors, and we need the specialists, and we need the accountants. We need all these people. But the reality was, Hazrat says, that we are not supposed to even go into those departments. The boss doesn't go into all these things. He just sets up the company, you must work. See, Allah Ta'ala sent us as the boss of dunya. We're supposed to be now relaxing. You all go and do all these you go and study, and you all work for us. You all work for us. We'll open up the clinics, and you all work for us. We don't have to go and study 8 years, or 9 years, or 12 years. Allah has given us the effort of deen. So the effort of deen, you all go and study all these things, and we will employ you all. You all work for us. To the extent Hazrat mentioned also, that for a real mu'min and believer, if he understood what Allah Ta'ala has given him, then he will realize also that even to drive to wasn't his responsibility. Hazrat says to in his way, that we should be sitting like nannies in the back seat. Why you must drive us to the masjid? Wait outside for us. That's how life's supposed to be. Little bit we find this now when you go to Pakistan. You got so many drivers there. The boss just sits, he says, Tariq bhai, bring the car, we're going to masjid. Right? We're shopping also, just wait outside, we're coming now. The whole day he's waiting in the car. There's a little bit of a sample now, how the life of a Muslim is supposed to be. Not so involved in dunya, we've got everybody working for us. To the effort of deen, to the asbab of dunya, you'll earn dunya. To the asbab of akhirat, you'll earn dunya and akhirat. This is how our life is supposed to be. But we can see, as I mentioned now, how much school rounds, how many years we need school rounds. It's not supposed to be our life, doing school rounds. But we follow their system, and we don't see them running up and down everywhere. They've got drivers doing everything. We are running everywhere. The governments, prime ministers, they don't do grocery shopping. We're supposed to be sitting there. But Hazrat says now they gave us a few crumbs here and there. We're very happy about it. Yeah, you can build your masjid. You can do a few things. You can give azan. Say, Alhamdulillah. We say, Alhamdulillah. He said, we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be controlling. We're supposed to be on the top. The ummah hasn't made this niyat. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation. Allah Ta'ala has given us honor because of Islam. What is honor? Al-Islam ya'lu wa la yu'la. Islam rules. Is that ruled? Islam rules is not ruled. We have become so accustomed now of becoming modern day slaves of systems. And we're so used to it. And we feel now we are progressing. But we're not progressing. We are not progressing because we're accepting the system they put us into. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Bani Israel plenty of wealth, and with the wealth now they will control economies, etc., with the permission of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Wa banina. Banina, Allah says, I have given them the manpower. The manpower Allah Ta'ala has given it to them. They might be a minority, but because the abuse of wealth, so they now control governments also. They set up, they hire, they fire. Allah has given it to them. Yawmwalin. Wa banina. Wa ja'alnakum akthara nafira. Some ulama translate this as we've given them the media houses, the voices. They've given them the voice. So if you know, challenge them now on that platform, the voice, radio stations and channels, etc., they will control you. How much of airtime you must have, and who must go online, you must have ladies, you've got to have these programs. You're not free to do what you want. Everything they have regulated. All our dini things to... Imagine now they got regulation to how you must build your masjid. You must have so much of parking. Then you can build your masjid. That's slavery. But we're happy with it. Where you can build, where you can't build. This is not a zone. Go rezone it. So much of now objections to it. So much of objections to it. So you really see now that who's a slave and who's calling the shots. Because we haven't come here now. We should be calling the shots by we want to build our masjid, we build where we want to. And how we want to. Give our azan, read our salah where we want. But they're telling us, no, you only can do it like this, do it like that. So we become so used to this mindset now. Where we have to get out of this. We have to get out of the system and think, what they say, out of the box. They put us into this box and they're keeping us there. So we have become slaves of the system, and we can see our lives are coming out in the slavery now. And what their fikr and concern is has become also a fikr. What will happen to our future? What will happen to my dunya? What will happen to my children? This was never the fikr of a mu'min. Understand now, this is never the concern of a believer. What will happen to my children? Look at the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. You'll never find any of them thinking, oh, better, what will happen to you? What if I leave, what will happen? They already prepared the children. They'll be giving our life in the path of Allah. You're going to do the same thing. So they never had this fikr of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because they put their entire family into amal. Allah will take care of you. This whole mindset that we have right now, is that a Muslim concept and mindset? This we took it from them because this is also the day and night fikr and concern. So they set up systems to pacify this fikr and concern and anxiety of theirs of what will happen in the future. So we fell also into the same system. So we got the same fikr and concern, which is not an Islamic one. The fikr should be like Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, instead of a discussion, and anyway, it's going that way. Am kuntum shuhada'a, it hadara Yaqub al-maut. Am kuntum shuhada'a, Allah asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the ummah at large. Am kuntum shuhada'a, it hadara Yaqub al-maut. Were you present there? Were you all present there? When maut presented itself to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, what a Nabi of Allah. Wami wara Ishaq Yaqub. From Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came Ishaq. From Ishaq alayhi salam came Yaqub. From Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam came Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And his other 11 sons, the whole Bani Israel, the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Bani Israel came from there. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, what iman he had, he's in Sakarat, he's in maut. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ Look at his fikr. إِذْ قَالَ When he said to his sons, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي What will you worship after me? What will you worship after me? We see our concern. Now when the old man is going out, Papa, everything sorted out, paperwork, you signed everything off, what you left? Can you just tell me? Then you can sort. He's telling his sons now, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ قالوا they already were saying نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك our beloved father نعبد إلهك we'll worship your إله your Allah and the إله and the Allah of your forefathers we'll worship them so he already had trained them what the thing Allah is bringing the Nabi of the time he shouldn't be having this fikr but he's concerned the Nabi of the time where his children stayed with him and saw his nubuwwat and his ibadat he's leaving the world And these are his final words. Who will you worship after me? So many more examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. What was the fikr and concern when it came to their families and the children? And how we have gone so far from there, we're already thinking, I've got to invest this and this and this, that property and this. We're not saying it's haram. But for a mu'min, it's not something of concern. What my children are going to eat after me. I'm not a god. Cannot play God in their life. What are you going to eat after me? Yes, you'll go into the system. Allah will give. You'll carry on because that is one system also. It will operate like that. But there's no guarantee of iman remaining in our progenies. There's no guarantee. Ya Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made the effort and subhanallah, we look at when he came to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah explains in the Quran Sharif about their wives. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا الَّذِينَ كَفُرُ مْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَمْرَأَةَ لُوتٍ كَانَتَا Their wives stayed with them in the same house. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا But they didn't believe in their husbands. looking at the ibadat of the Nabi of the time, staying with him. Then too, Allah, their hearts became so hard that they disbelieved. This was the wife of Lut alayhi salam, the wife of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Nothing was availed to them, nothing could save them. Living with the Nabi of the time, and Allah Ta'ala draws the attention of the Ummah, when Allah Ta'ala wants to explain kufr and iman in Quran, the gravity of kufr, the highest form of kufr and the highest form of iman in Quran, Allah Ta'ala brings the example of the masturat and the ladies. That if ever there has to be kufr, then see how ladies will be kufr. How they'll disbelieve or how they make nashukri. They'll be ungrateful. Allah Ta'ala doesn't bring the example of men, He brings the example of the masturat and ladies. The staying with the Nabi of the time, seeing his ibadat, seeing his akhlaq, hearing his da'wat, seeing his night and his day, seeing his crying, and seeing the level of his ma'rifat and living with him, then too they disbelieved. Then too they disbelieved. Allah Ta'ala to bring the example in the Quran. If you see disbelief, this is to what level now the masturat and ladies can drop to. Staying with the da'i of deen, with the pious men. Don't want to accept, they won't accept. Their hearts get sealed. And on the converse of it, Allah Ta'ala gives the example of iman. That the wife of Fir'aun, living in the markaz of kufr, where he claimed to be ana rabbukum al-a'la, that I am the great Lord. I control everything. I give life, I give death. Ana uhi wa umit. I give life, I give death. He killed one slave, say I killed him. I give death. He freed one slave, say I give him life. So Allah Ta'ala brings the example of Imra'atu Fir'aun, Asiya, radiyallahu anha, living in the markaz and headquarters of kufr. And to what level he claims to be ilah and the god of the time. But when she searched for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gave a dead level of iman. And when he tortures her and about to kill her, never gives up still. The love of Allah came in the heart and she makes a dua, Ya Allah, give me a house next to you in Jannat. What a dua she made. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Quran Sharif, Ibni li baytan fil Jannah. Ya Allah, build for me a house in Jannah by you, indaka, by you. So they've given us this entire system that every day we waking up and sleeping with the same concern. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen tomorrow? My children, my children, my children. I'm the time before the child is born already. We already got concern now. And we don't really have kids also now. Hold on, space them out because we got a sort of finances. What a chakra they got us in. As if we are going to feed them. Allah shows you, before they came in the world, I was already feeding them. They came in the world for the first 2 years. Who fed them? Allah Ta'ala fed them. The child cried. And Allah Ta'ala put milk in the mother's chest. Then the child forgot to cry. Instead of making everybody else cry. Then you see, now you must go and work now. Now you go and work, you're making everybody cry. When you were crying, Allah was feeding. Now you stop crying, you're making everyone cry. They said, now hit the road. So our job is to cry, and Allah will give. So Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given them wealth, manpower, and the media houses, the voices. On these three platforms, if you want to take them on, there's no way. Hazrat says now, if you want to challenge them on any of these fronts over here, then they will bring you down to size. They will lock you down. They will stop all the supply. They will give you vaccinations. They will give you different type of illnesses. Don't challenge us. We'll just turn the system around. Overnight we'll lock you down, close you up, make you sit at home. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. The way it came from, we can't see where the virus is moving right now. But we'll make it move. Just believe us. We're so used to believing them. We say yes. Labbaik wa sa'adik. We accept it. Because we got our mindset already in a way that is working. Sahaba ikram, they knew the system of Allah, so they stood their ground. And where the superpowers of the world now had to make sajda to them. They heard they are coming, Sahaba ikram are coming, they make sajda to them. But these people have come with a different system of life now. The real system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This yaqeen and conviction has to come in the heart. But from young already now, our iman has been tainted. When a child goes to school, within the first week, the first question, poisonous question, he's asked, what will you become? Finished. If he is now, the ma'am said, I have to become something. He trusts her so much. He trusts her so much more than his parents also. Whereas he's supposed to be told that, oh my son, you are already something. You are the honorable slave of Allah, and ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you already have a full-time job of ibadat and da'wat. So the khatm nubuwat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the final Nabi. This deen of Allah should prevail to the day of Qiyamah. You are responsible to take the deen. Whether tabligh jamaat, whether you're giving da'wat, whether whatever effort you are making, but you got to carry this deen. He's already got a job. Now, in between, you got to just sort out a little bit your khana pina. Put food on the table. Just in between. That has to take place. You see? But now the whole thing is turned around now. What will you become? Now I got to give time and slowly I'll just put in a little bit. My ibadat there, running up and down, get my namaz a little bit, and get my Quran a little bit, and I'm battling also to get to my Quran tilawat and dhikr also. I'm just making it in the car. And I'm just carrying on like that, waiting, maybe tomorrow will be better, and tomorrow will be better, and tomorrow will be better. And it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen because the whole system we got stuck into now is that a shari'i system. So Allah will let it run, and everything will be against us. And we see who's smiling in the corporates, right on the top, they're smiling at us, they got us working like slaves now. Just work in the system and carry on. Carry on, carry on. We create the riots, and then we'll give it a little bit loans now. Let's start again, do this, do a little bit like that. They're playing games with us. That is why, now when they sing the new system, or actually the original system, or not a democratic system, Shari'i system, a little bit they sing in Afghanistan, that has become a great threat to them. This is a different system now. And what they'll do, they start picking on one thing. Ladies' education, and children's rights, and this thing, and that thing. Because they're not afraid of the Taliban, they're afraid of the system Taliban is going to implement to run the government. Is that according to our system? And people will see this is a beautiful system. Everyone has their rights. There's no more drug addicts. They took all of them, put them in the rehabs, cleaned them out, took all the beggars in the street, lined them up, all the widows, took their names down. Ma, you sit at home, we'll bring food for you. Every month we'll give you supply. We've got a Baitul Mal, public treasury. This in 2 years, now recently the report came out, in 2 years only, they made almost $2 billion in halal tax. $2 billion in halal tax. Our country, bichara, how much of gold we had. There's nothing left over there. Nothing left over there. And those that are working in government also, are paid like a normal laborer's salary. Laborer's salary. Because we are not MPs, members of parliament, we are khadims of the ummah. We have come to serve the people. That's our honor. Khidmat to the khalq. Khidmat to the people. It's a different system altogether. That is why they're still looking for ways Amirul Mu'minin. There's no bayan, no talk. They're addressing the nation whatsoever. Recently also, he's got these paparazzis looking for him everywhere. And they found him now in his jeep somewhere going. They said, here's he. Mr. President, Amirul Mu'minin is going to give one talk. Maybe something happening. Came off the car. He came into the masjid. And they went quietly there. They put the recorders on. To record what he's going to say. Possibly some plot, some plan now. They're going to plant something somewhere. And they waited and he continued the talk. He went for a Hifz Khatam Jalsa. He gave bayan of Hifz of Quran, virtues of Quran Sharif. He said, you can't understand. This Amirul Mu'minin, nothing political. Nothing political. Not one bayan at one talk, doesn't address the nation. How is he going to run a cabinet like this? This is a different system, this. Now they're seeing how the whole thing is just operating now. It's a whole different Shari'i system. This is a threat to the world right now, the Shari'i system. And inshallah it will spread throughout the world. Allah will open it up. It is going to happen. Hazrat Wala says it is going to happen. Deen is going to spread is whether I'm going to have a share in it or not. Or am I still going to say I'm busy, can't make it. Jamaat is going, I'll see next month. Maybe, let me know again. It is going to happen. Deen is going to spread, is going to be established. How much share I'm going to have in it, your name can be down, taken down in history. Alhamdulillah, you was part of it. Of deen coming alive in the world. So this is already, this is just one now, one of the stats that have come out. $2 billion, just in halal tax. And how much more is taking place right now? All the governments of the world now sign contracts with them. All different things, the amount of titanium they have right now, lithium they have. Lithium now is like more than gold in the world. Trillions of dollars, Allah Ta'ala has left, put it in the ground for them. But all the world is coming now. Can we help you all out? Can we help you all out? Khair. So here, Hazrat explains now, the prohibition in the Quran of longfully gazing at the abundance of wealth and material belongings of the disbelievers, and towards the status and honor, is for this reason, that the beauty and luster of one's iman diminishes due to this outward glamour. And you see how they display everything around them. They have big shows, come and see what we got. The car shows they have, different countries now, every year. Come and see the cars we've designed. Even now, too, a few months ago, Afghanistan already designed the first supercar, about to be rolled out in the world. Dunya can't believe, so quickly already. Allah has given them intelligence. All those helicopters that they destroyed when they left, is all fixed up, they're flying it already. So they already designed their first supercar, about to roll out. Kufar can't believe it. So quickly, where you got this from? Allah gives the intelligence. How to design it? How to design it? Allah has given them, those brothers in those countries, mashallah, it's a hard life. But give them anything in dunya, to make a replica, or to make a this thing of it, they'll do it. Give them the best of ammunition and guns, etc. They might make it better than the original also. We, Allah has given them, bless them with their hands. Our brothers in Turkey also, how they work with their hands. What intelligence Allah Pak has given them. And all this, as it explains now, this intelligence of knowing of things of dunya, Allah will give it to the barakat of your imani strength. Like in Spain also, most of what the sciences we find in the world right now, all emanated and initiated from Spain. Muslim Spain. Medicine also came from there. A lot of it came from there. Most of it came from there. Right, Dr. Sir? Most of it came from there. But the eye, how it's operating, came from there. Mathematics, algebra, geometry came from there. Navigation came from there. Irrigation system, water purifying systems, all came from Spain. But we haven't heard now, they had one top university or some lecturers from certain countries, nothing. We only hear Muslim names. And all these sciences were taught in the Darul Ulum. All these sciences were taught in the Darul Ulum. Where in the masjid? The masjid of Darul Ulum, there were thousands of students. So they had to say, like, we have our Muslim schools. But we just got now 1 hour for Islamiyat. There they had Quran and Hadith the whole day. And أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا Allah says, ponder the Qur'an, you'll find so many things in there. So many things in the Qur'an, through the barakat of the nur of iman, sitting in hadith, in Qur'an, and tafsir, and the rest of it, they would ponder. And Allah Ta'ala opened to them the science of dunya through Qur'an and hadith. From there it all came out. Allah says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ Allah gives the command, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ Why don't you ponder within yourself? أَفَلَا تُبْسِرُونَ Don't you see? So Allah, to what extent do you want us to ponder? So they began to ponder. It was the command of Quran. So the nur of iman, it was untainted. So they began to ponder. And Allah opened things. This thing, this how this organ is operating. This how it's operating. They began to go into the fiqh of it. Allah Ta'ala opened things to them. When it came to flying, when it came to aerodynamics and the rest of it, how Allah Ta'ala opened different things to them, it's through the barakat of the nur of iman. Like Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam also, when he tiled his entire palace with glass. With glass he tiled it. And Bilqis came, and under the glass there was water. So she lifted her skirt about to address her butna because she thought she was stepping into water, but it wasn't water, it was glass on top of the water. So here, Hazrat says that where did he get the science of making so thin glass that the army could walk upon it? It won't crack and so clear also. He had the science that time. The time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Where Allah Ta'ala had blessed him how to manufacture glass like this. So thin, so clear, but yet so strong. In this zamana we still can't make glass like that. China made one bridge right now of glass. I think it's cracking now. It's already cracking. That time Allah Ta'ala blessed the ummah with that type of intelligence. That is real intelligence. Now, about 15 years ago, there was an Egyptian doctor reading now the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. اذهبوا بقميص هذا فالقوه على وجه أبي يأتي بصيرا. Told his brothers, I take this kurta of mine and put it over the face of my father and his eyesight will return. Some of us didn't say he had cataract of the eye. Some say he went blind. So take this and put it over the face of my father, put it upon his eyes. Ya'ati basira, his eyesight will return. So he began to read this ayat, and Allah Ta'ala says, repeat it, repeat, repeat, and Allah will open the heart, something in this. You got talab and desire, everything is in Quran Sharif, everything is there, the sciences of the world and everything is there. Is there a science kitab? It's way beyond it. But Allah has kept all these things of dunya in there too. Then he began to ponder, Ya Allah, what was in the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? There's something there. Well, now you say it's a miracle. Yes, it's a miracle. But there's something there Allah has kept also. That Allah mentioned the qamis like this, like that. These words, every word has a deep meaning. And Allah did not put a word there just for anything. Every waw in Quran also has some secret behind it. Why this waw is there? Why the fa is there? Although these are prepositions, so to say, conjunctions. But there's a reason behind it. So he began to ponder over the qamis, the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and he thought to himself, the only thing that could be in the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was his perspiration. So what he did was, he began to experiment on perspiration. So he made some eye drops from the perspiration of humans. And he tried it on a few patients that had cataract, and he began to clear out. And I read the article years ago. Then he sent these samples now to Switzerland, to the pharmaceutical companies. And then we never heard about him after that. Never heard about him after that. What happened to him? Where he disappeared? What happened to the whole experiment? Nobody knows. Is that good for their business? Perspiration is free now. But we can imagine now, this is only one thing he found. He found him it. But there's so much more in Quran Sharif. Allah will open the sciences of dunya through Quran Sharif. Everything is in Quran. Allah says, look at the sky, the earth, look at this, look at that. There's something there. With the nur of iman, Allah will open it. So here, don't look at the material belongings of the disbelievers. As I mentioned now, they want you to see their things and how it attracts the heart also. You come to the masjid, now there's a new model car parking next to your car. Somehow you want to just walk around that way, check inside, how's that car? You don't look at these things. It will take out the nur of iman and then you'll desire it. When the love and desire of worldly wealth and goods overtakes one, the love of iman does not remain in the heart. Two things can't remain at the same time. Either you want iman, the love of iman, or you want dunya. In short, according to the abstinence, as much as you will abstain, only that wealth which is halal and is presently devoid of any form of doubt and devoid of any possibility of causing harm in future is worthy of consumption. Just one more point. The fourth level is of the Siddiqeen. So we did the Muttaqeen. Now we come to the Siddiqeen, which is the highest level of Iman after Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The fourth level is of the Siddiqeen. That is, they abstain from eating all such foods from which one does not gain strength. I don't get strength from this. Because you only eat him to get strength to worship Allah. So going to give me strength? Is that tayyib? Is that halal? Is that wholesome? Not good for me? I don't need it. So they abstain from eating all such foods from which one does not gain strength to perform acts of worship and obedience. Now we can imagine and we know in our life how many things we consume. Most of it is for taste. Chips, we know, nothing in there. You're only eating, you've got a craving for it. Ice cream, I don't have any benefit in ice cream. And desserts. How much of time of masturada spending in making desserts? But really, there's no fayda in it. We're just having it for the taste and taste and taste. And we're trying something else and something else and something else. But there's no benefit. The Siddiqeen, if there's fayda, benefit for me, it will help me to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, bismillah. No benefit, I don't waste my time. Why waste my time in eating it? In that time I can make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An incident is mentioned of a sage of a buzruk who drank some medicine. His wife asked him to take a small walk. He answered, I do not see a need for such a futile action. He took the medication, he said, well, you took the medicine, I'll go for a walk a little bit also. Maybe it will help you. He said, I don't find any benefit in this. I take stock of my every move. If it's going to be beneficial for me, it's going to help me in some way to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then yes, I'll do it. Otherwise, I take stock of every action of mine. Similarly, it is necessary in this stage to abstain from anything that has been contaminated by sin prior to it reaching you. Even that food now, there was some sin behind it. it was even prepared in a sinful environment, they wouldn't consume it. They will consume that food that was made in a pious environment. But any type of sin, oppression behind it, they would have abstained from it. Once Hazrat Zunnun Misri Rahmatullah Alayhi was unjustly imprisoned. Finding him hungry, a pious woman sent him some food, which was prepared from her halal wealth. The prison guard gave the food to him. He served him the food. He did not eat from it and returned it saying, even though the food is halal, the plate is impure. How come? Referring to the hands of the prison guard. Your hands are impure. Because you are unjust what you are doing. So I won't even partake of that food because you touched that plate. You could see the darkness of his injustice in that plate that he was serving also. Referring to the hands of the prison guard, as he was guilty of enforcing the unjust imprisonment. Food that had been contaminated by the touch of the oppressor was now unfit for consumption. As the Bishr Hafi rahmatullah Ali would not drink water from canals dug by oppressive rulers. Oppressive rulers, they initiated these canals, he wouldn't drink water from there. Because these are oppressors. When the slave of a pious man once lit his lantern at the house of an oppressor, the pious man extinguished it saying, it is not appropriate to take benefit from a lamp lit from the lamp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's disobedient servants. I don't need anything from him. The essence of the matter is that these pious people practice on the verse, قُلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ ذَرْهُمْ فِي خَوْضِهِمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Say Allah, then leave all else in its entirety. They would never use anything in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure was not intended. Since reaching this rank is not easy, the least one should endeavor to attain is the rank of the trustworthy Muslims, that is not indulge in those things that the ulama have declared as haram. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Any questions any brothers have? So as we can gauge from here, the Sharia system is so beautiful, but how they have contaminated our entire lifestyle, from the top to the bottom. And we don't feel anything also about it. We're just happy and we're carrying on. This is what Hazrat is trying to put within the Ummah right now. Understand that we have become modern day slaves. Get out of the system now. And it's happening already internationally after this whole COVID thing. First has become the entire education system. Right now in the West, there's a whole movement now not to send the children to school. Homeschool. And it's happening very big right now. In America is very big right now. Homeschooling. It's unfortunate now that in the forefront of this are the Christians. They are afraid for their children, so-called, the Christianity will happen to them. So they have initiated now homeschooling. Now the Muslim Ummah is waking up. And now then we're going to take their system of homeschooling. Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat that we start our own system of homeschooling, educating our children. Because you know the company out there, they go to school, they are exposed to different things all the time. Exposure is there. So how we can start our own systems right now? When it comes to the abattoirs, we can see what has happened now. They took over the entire food chain and how they've contaminated now everything. Even the chicken may be halal with slaughtering, but the feed before it. How the chicken now was reared, how it was nourished, what type of food there was there, what type of environment. Are we consuming it? So we can see the effect on iman, how much we're trying to come right. But there's some block over there, something is that opening up. Whereas by now we should be feeling open. The muhabbat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, like sahaba radiallahu anhum, how their hearts were open, enjoying the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatul alayhi, in his khanqa at that time, they say when zikr used to take place, the zikr was so sweet and so powerful and so strong that even the dhobi, the washermen that were at the river, just outside the khanqa, there was a river there. And they should be washing the clothes. And how they wash the clothes in India, till today also, they take the clothes, they wet it, and they strike it on the rock. You see, the zikr of theirs was so powerful and so hot, penetrating, that even that Hindu dhobi washerman, when he should strike the cloth, he should say, Allah, Allah, Allah. The sweetness caught his heart also. It was so pure zikr of Allah. That myself now, we make the zikr, but it's just suddenly seeping through. It's getting stuck somewhere. Start going through. The only thing going through now is the cholesterol. That's the only thing. Now we try to get it out now. They put us in the system. Alright, so they clogged all the valves now. There's no place for anything else. Either there's pressure, there's cholesterol, there's sugar, something else. And they've given us medication to get better. They keep us in the system also. Somebody has to enjoy the barakat of all these illnesses. So we have a full, complete Shari'i system. That is the crying of the Akabar, that that system has become alive again in the world. The most beautiful system of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there's no fear of anything around us. I've been hearing much now in the media, or recently, of the insecurity, instability in Afghanistan, and this happening. Now all the journalists are going through and they say the amount of security is unbelievable. People are walking in the streets 2 o'clock in the morning. At one time, when they say it was downtown area, you can't even take a taxi through that area. You won't come out alive. Or you lose all your belongings. And now they have live reports nowadays. Or where the journalists are walking in the same area as downtown, with cell phone in their hand, cash in their pocket. Sometimes the masturat are walking alone, the ladies. Say, nobody will even give us a second glance. We just got one talib, just one soldier standing there. One entire area. Just to see everything is fine. Absolutely clear and secured. This is real life. When it comes to the parks also, there they say that, what they say, there's no democracy. The ladies say, we're enjoying our life. 3 days in a week is ladies' time. Here, women are fighting for me time. They're fighting for me time. And husband is worried, now where are you? Put a track on the car. Where's your phone? You're not answering the phone. Where are you? What happened? And there, subhanAllah, they've got three days in a week to go to the park is ladies' time. And they have the reports also. These many of the Afghani women that were educated in Western countries have gone back. And they say, what a life we're enjoying over here. We've got no fear of anyone. The parks are open and it's all, mashallah, well groomed and pruned. They say not one male over here is only ladies. They've got little young Nabali boys pushing these little carts, vendors, selling ice cream and chirps or whatever, you have your picnic. You say, we are free, absolutely free. It's full parda. We can take out our burqas and scarves. We can have races and jump and do everything. They just got a few guards standing outside. They don't look inside at all. And they got these Nabali boys. They say, we're absolutely free. In our country, we can't even do that. We can't even do that. They're already enjoying it over there. 3 times a week. So, and they have malls already that have started in Kabul, etc. Where those malls are run completely by the ladies. Ladies' malls completely. Where they are free to walk in and it's fully closed up. And they also, they got one talib, one soldier stationed by the entrance. And no men enter. Only ladies, they're free to do as they want to. They want to have the coffee there, ice cream there, whatever it is, they're free. Secure, full parada. This is what now the kuffar are afraid of. Because they thrive on intermingling, on zina of the eyes. And zina is a norm nowadays. You have a society of illegitimate children. This is the ingredients for insecurity, for crime, for murder. Because that little child has no sense of belonging to anyone. No sense of belonging, so who will cry for me? I'll just carry on my life like that. As you can see, unfortunately, our locals also now. There's no feeling, there's no nurturing, there's no tarbiyat made. So, there's nothing to look for really. Look for the day. Look for the day. Take the life of someone, a cow, we might kill one insect over there. Kill the person, have supper and go and sleep. And nothing happened. This is all, we can see the barakat now. The evil effect of no marriages. That's why zina in Sharia is a great, great heinous act that we cut it from the root. Take the person's life. Once you have a society that are illegitimate, then all these things will begin. Murder, crime, gruesomeness and everything else. Just because of zina. Sharia doesn't tolerate it at all. Cut it from the root. There has to be family units where there's muhabbat, there's love, there's care, there's ta'lim taking place. Otherwise you'll have a broken society and all these things will happen now. This is the whole cause for what we are experiencing right now. So nikah is such an important thing. Our locals will find them because they can't afford the bola, isn't it? So the nikah is not registered, so to say now. And he's already a grandfather. But in his heart, he knows I'm not married yet. So marriage is such a sacred thing that even a person is married in a kral, in a temple, in a church, in a synagogue. Right? You got married like that. Not in the name of Allah, but husband and wife become Muslim together. There is no need to repeat the nikah. Their nikah also, according to Sharia, is recognized. They are married couple. Although they're not Muslim, but they got married in the temple, we say they are husband and wife. Those children are legitimate. So even in Sharia, we recognize the nikahs too. Because it's such a sacred thing. So we don't want now a society and a community where there's no nikah taking place. So we find in the modern world, so to say the modern world now, they got living partners. And they're living for years like that in zina. And then they have kids and they decide to get married after that. But the child is illegitimate. How is it going to grow up? You see in the schools now, how crazy those kids have become now. Killing, stabbing, no respect. They don't even know what the word respect means anymore now. Nothing whatsoever. Right? The thuggery and the gangsterism and everything else is all because of no nikah. Or no nikah. So the whole system is corrupted and they're getting tired of it now. They're getting tired of their own life. See the suicidal rates right now. They're tired of their own life, although dunya is theirs. One Jamaat came from Australia a few years ago, and that youngster was given the car guzari from the Gold Coast. And Jamaat, we went there also, the east of Australia. And Ajib, the estates they live in, mostly Jews, and these are now, maybe you can say, the millionaires and billionaires of the world staying there. They have canals going through the entire city, canals, waterworks. And their homes are built along those canals. Massive big homes. And you see the cars, supercars they're driving. And the type of lifestyle they have. Mastura said in one of those areas there also. And big glass houses. You walk through, you come onto the deck, they got their pools and they got their boats. You go shopping to the mall with their boats. But the highest rate of suicides in the countries in that area. Generally, every month, so many youngsters, girls and boys take their life. There's a cliff over there. There's a cliff over there that they jump from there. They put their name on the rock, so and so was here. Depression. There's no meaning to life. Got all the wealth in the world. Everything now is via Wi-Fi. Entire homes and businesses, everything is controlled. But there's no peace of heart, no peace of mind, nothing whatsoever. The child is bored in life, absolutely bored. Got no meaning in life. So you go into a depression. What must I do now? There's nothing to do. There's no more enjoyment, there's no more fun. He's done everything in his worldly life. Now, they go and throw themselves from the cliff. So every month, so many of them take their lives. There's no meaning to life. But this is a system that's backfiring right now, that they've come with. They're backfiring. Doesn't work for them. So, at one time we had one Jamaat Sati came from America. And he was a Jew. In the 70s he reverted to Islam. Amongst his hippies moving around, he was part of a musical band. When I met him in Hilal, you can see he's a white man, full beard, blonde beard, full kurta, Pakistani kurta, married a Pakistani also, he's an alim, qualified in Pakistan. So we were talking. So he's giving me his history of how he came into Deen Islam, etc. Then he says, among my worst experiences I ever had in my life was my first Hajj. My first Hajj I went for. So I was looking forward to it, went to the Holy Land. So when I went there, I was devastated. Possibly in the 70s, 80s. So I asked him, what happened? He said, I lived the American dream. I lived the American dream. Hippie life. Town to town, city to city, sleep anywhere, eat anywhere, date anyone, do what I want to. It was a free life, hippie life. How I want to dress, where I want to stay, what kind of hair I want to. Somebody asked one of our kabir also, that why we not encouraging in Pakistan, why we not encouraging our children to learn Arabic? The Arab asked him, why you why are you making your children learn English and not Arabic? So he says the hippies moved in the world and they spread English. The Arabs sat at home and didn't go out in the path of Allah, so Arabic died. So you got to teach our children English now to give the da'wat. Because nobody knows Arabic. You all stop moving, at one time the ummah, the Arabs were moving in the world for deen, so Arabic spread. You all sat at home now, and signed the contracts for oil, and the hippies moved in the world and they spread English. So now we got to learn English. The world has become an English world. Because they moved. What you move with will spread. You all stop moving, so the da'wah stop and the deen Islam stopped also. So he says, I went to Hajj, and he said, when I reached Makkah al-Mukarramah, I was devastated what I saw there. So I asked him, what was it? He said, I lived the American dream. I know the filth of the American life, what it is about. The music, the alcohol, the technology is all. You see, they say that music, al-ghina, ruqiyatu zina. That music is a stepping stone to adultery. You go to the club, what they do? Is music, dancing, and inevitably is alcohol, and then is a haram act thereafter. So you see, the entire system, Western life system, which they make you feel it's so fun and enjoyable, and this is how you should be, to be with the times. He says, I saw that entire thing, what the West had now came up with, to pleasure themselves, to have a good life. They consumed it, they spewed it out, defecated, they took it out, they dumped it in the East. So whatever they finish with, then they transfer it over here, let's go to the next stage now. Next stage, let's try something else. He said, when I came here to Hijaz, so Saudi Arabia, I realized this has become the dumping ground of the West. What they finished with, they dumped it here. And the entire Ummah, Muslim Ummah, is coming here now and grabbing the leftovers of what we dumped over here. We went through it already, we got into depression, take out a new drug. Now, the journals now come out of therapy, psychologist, psychiatrist, because this happened, that happened. Now we find the children going to school, the child is in class, what, grade R or minus zero, and what they have now, whatever it is now, he can't perform on this level. Who said he has to be on that level at that age? So put him on some medication. Oh, he's too active. Just mellow him out a little bit. Put him on some, what is ADH, whatever it is now. Put him into all these things over here because he's too hyped. All must be on the same level. Allah has made, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah says in Quran, I have given virtue of some over the others in sustenance. Some will have to work. Some will have to be laborers. Some will work with their hands. Not all can comprehend on the same, but they say, no. All have to be. If he's not there, put him in remedial school. He's backwards a little bit. So already the child now feels, enough, so I don't fit in society. He has his place. Allah has kept a place for him somewhere. Every boy qualifies in Darul Ulum. If every boy is to teach Bukhari Sharif, who's going to teach Maktab then? There has to be variations and different levels now for ulama also. Not all can become high flyers. They all teach Bukhari Sharif now. But some have to come back to the maktab, teach the basics. Some will have to do hib, some will do imamat. The boy teaching Bukhari, the boy that is now came out first in the class, and the boy that came out last in the class, so to say, came out last. Most of the time, you see the boy came out first, see his qirat compared to the weakest boy in the class. He can't compare the qirat. His qirat is tops. He do the imamat. He's on the musalla, but he came out first. He came out first at the bottom. You can't say he came out last. He came out first at the bottom. What he's doing, the imamah, Allah has blessed him with a voice with his qirat, his tajweed, his tops. And that boy on the top now, his tongue is not so conducive, can't pronounce the words properly, but he's good in his kitabs. So Allah has made it different. Now we can't tell all the boys in Darul Ulum, see, you're all not performing Bukhari, put all the medication now. Alright, put all the medication, all of you put on cannabis now. Finish and all, middle now, so you all can, different level you can comprehend. It doesn't work like that. But they made us believe in all the sophistication. In all the sophistication, that's why those kids are becoming now. They're so confused now, they don't know what they are. They don't know what they are now. Whether they're male, whether they're female, what they're supposed to be, they're not sure. He's feeling he's locked up in a body, he's supposed to be somebody else. Because of all these things that the mothers are taking before that, and the whole mindset, etc. So he says, now when I came to Hijaz, Saudi Arabia, he says, Ya Allah, I was shocked. What is all this? Have you know in the 70s, in the 80s and the 90s, people used to go for Umrah and Hajj, what they come back with? mini hi-fis, Sony mini hi-fis, Walkmans, double tape recorders and players and all the technology. They tell me we had sanctions over here, so we couldn't get all those things. That was a big thing, give you order by what you want. CD player, this and that, and the TVs, and that time, the loudspeaker phones, and the rest of it. People used to come via Nairobi. And there they take everything out from there. And I remember that time when we went, the agent that time used to hire a truck, tip truck, for all the TVs and all the hi-fis, everything. South African Mali is going to the airport via Nairobi. Nairobi also, they used to take everything off the plane because you change planes. Now the Hadi is looking at, hey, here's my TV there, here's the hi-fi is there, I hope they load it. Then when he comes in, then customs after that. That was Hajj Umrah. He says, what we spewed out that we got finished with, you all are just grabbing. He said, how many times I was so tempted to say, I was finished within myself. I came from that life. How to explain to the Ummah, what are you all doing? The Holy Land, you're coming to take these things back home, which put us into depression. He said, how many times I wanted to go up to the Imam and tell him, Imam, please give me the mic, I want to make an announcement. There are so many times I was compelled, I said, you know, let me just make this Elan and tell the people, I've come from this lifestyle, what are you all doing? This was now in the 70s and 80s. He said, then I realized that these lands don't belong to the Muslims. It doesn't belong to the Muslims. It's just a dumping ground for the West. They're just putting everything here, and the Ummah is taking it from here. And they're calling it Barakat, Barakat, Barakat. But you know, that all the things used to come home, how it was abused and misused, and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, the whole thing, whole Hajj and Umrah trip became of gold and jewelry. That daughter was getting married, that son is getting married. We buy all the janho, get all. And how much they used to buy that time when the rain was strong? Alright. And even she wasn't in parda and hijab, she put it on in the full bangles, almost till the elbows. So the customs don't see it. Oh, these things we should do. He said, I was shocked, petrified, that the ummah now, where are they going to? Well, khair Allah ta'ala give us understanding. But this whole thing has it, is his cry that we must wake up. He said, become a little intelligent now. Awalam yatafakkaru. Allah is saying, don't you think, use your brains a little bit. Use your mind a little bit. Think which way you're going. What's supposed to be our life? How we stuck in the system? And we're making, whoever is making money. But I asked him, how's life? He said, hey, I'm tired. I'm just tired. Although he's making. He said, I'm tired. I'm thick of it. But I have to work now. What must do? I have to work. He's not enjoying life too. Although he's making money. He's making plenty of it. But he said, I'm tired of it. I'm absolutely tired of life. I can just sit at home and do something half the time and just spend my time in the masjid. The aircon is on. Relax. Read my Quran Sharif. And I got so much of sukoon in the masjid, and what sleep I'm getting also. This I don't even get at home. This is how life's supposed to be. Taqaza, jamaat is coming, jamaat is going, join them, let's move. Do some dini effort here and there. But we can understand now, business too, those that are in business are saying, alhamdulillah. Those that are not making, say, things are bad. Those that are making also say, hey, things are tough out there. Things are tough. The entire system, those that are importing also, he said, what a chakkar. Hey, now they stop the container. Stop the container. How much profit I thought I will make? Now the thing fluctuated. Didn't pay the China man yet. Oh, chakkar. They got us running, 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 running. Whole thing upside down, the system. Working against what Allah is giving. But then to the stress behind it. The stress behind it. So this stress and then the whole food chain, the whole system, then ulama say is going to affect us, affect our children also. Because the health is not good, stress levels are high, the food quality is not good. Many other factors also. Alright, how many youngsters can't have children also? Then when the children are coming, then they're born with this disorder, or the child is born already with some eczema, or some, breathing problems, asthma, the rest of it, all these things over here. Where it started from this entire thing? So many illnesses the children are born with right now. There's a whole different discussion now, more for adults, as it explains now, when it comes to the quality of the semen, where it starts off the whole food chain, the food we are eating, etc. Your own health, your own mental state, and at the time of also when you have intimacy with your wife, what's your mindset? how pure of mind you are, etc. And the entire thing. So, to where now they penetrated our entire life. But, oh, listen, God has got us in a system where the child is born already, is already on medical aid. He's already sick from birth. So how now they've already tapped into such deep, you know, corners of our life. So inshallah, the time will come, we will get out of it, inshallah. Alright, this is one stepping stone now. We'll be sitting, at least we realize this. And we explain this to our families and our children. They grip our women folk already. They're already living in this fear of what will happen to the children, what will happen to the children. And now the whole feminist movement, we can't even tell them anything. So slowly now we start taking charge of our lives. For dua, take our time, we have to make qurbani sacrifice and begin to realize there's some other purpose of life. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Okay, this one last point also. Where the entire system, in the Muslim Ummah, there is no concept of hotel also. There's no concept of hotel and takeaways. Why? Because the Muslim Ummah is a brotherhood. My brothers come for Hajj, Umrah, stay in my house. Eat my food. You're honoring me actually. That was the system of Madina Munawwara. This is a Western concept now. I don't have place in my house and I can't feed you. One Jamaat brother from Yemen, we were in Pakistan together. So he went in Jamaat, he returned. Mother was very old, and Yemen, alhamdulillah, now too and many years ago, they were very much close to the, what do you say, tartib of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their lifestyle. So his mother was old school, you can say. So he was giving his car guzari. So mother asked him that, you go town to town, then I'm sure the people feed you all, and how is the food? He said, no. We used to cook or buy food. What he says, and roti, bread? He said, no, we used to buy bread. You see, you used to buy bread. The Ummah has gone so far that people don't give you free bread. Roti, bread, and its basics supposed to be free. You mean now people are selling roti? He said, what has happened to the Ummah? Whereas roti is a basic commodity, that should be no charge for it. It should be a khidmat to the creation, for Muslim and Muslim, basic roti and bread. Said they're actually selling bread nowadays. What has happened to the Ummah? So Hazrat says also the entire concept of hotels, etc., modern slavery. Right, and we do the booking with breakfast. That way enslaved. You come this time to that time. Who's the boss? I want to eat that time. No, you must come this time. Oh, it's closed. I was so happy about it. As now. We paid for it and you're telling us what time we must eat. But we're so attuned to it now. He says, there's no, in Sharia, there's no such thing as a hotel and such thing as now takeaways, because the Muslim Ummah is one brotherhood, one family. Anybody comes, should be fighting. He's my mehman, I'll take him home, I'll feed him. I'll give him food to eat. But today, as we know, the housewife also is nothing here, but just order and send it to the masjid now. There's no food at home. So the whole system has been turned around. So from these things now we can understand what is a pure Sharia system, that if you go into a Muslim country, the doors are open for you. Bye, come stay with me. Don't worry about anything. Sorted out everything. Your food, your drink, your clothing, your airport, your transport. This was a Muslim brotherhood at one time. Inshallah, it will come back to that, inshallah. We make the niyat and Allah Ta'ala will make it happen, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma.